Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman. Back to John chapter 6, back to the Bread of Life discourse. Back to the wonderful words of life that Jesus brought on this occasion to reveal to men that he indeed is the bread who came down from heaven, and those who partake of him shall receive sustenance that will give and sustain in them eternal life. And it is, of course, the bread from heaven. It is not bread on earth. It is not bread that sustains earthly life, but it is bread that sustains eternal life, spiritual life. But there are other aspects of what Christ taught in this passage that are, well, what should I say, challenging, difficult, and often resisted. But the grace that Christ brings and the salvation that he brings that depends upon his being God come in the flesh brings with it the reality of his sovereignty. If he is God come in the flesh, and he must be, if he's going to be able to bestow the salvation that he can bring, no one but God can do that. If he is God come in the flesh, then he must be regarded as God. He must be submitted to as God. He must be honored as God. He must be yielded to as God. And this is one of the sticking points. It was in Christ's day. It is again in our day. Many are willing to receive the benefits that Christ brings as long as they don't need, aren't required to acknowledge him as Lord and bow the knee to him and surrender to his rule. They'd like to have the good things, the benefits, but without the one requirement, which is to receive him unreservedly, wholeheartedly, for who he is. For who he is, for who he reveals himself to be. And in this passage, he reveals himself to be Almighty God, sovereign ruler of the universe. And that is key. That is critical. That is the heart of what it means to receive Jesus Christ. So we will continue our verse-by-verse exposition on this Sunday, January 5. I thank you for joining us. I thank those whose financial gifts make it possible. I read first the passage that we covered last Lord's Day, and then we'll go on from there. This is Christ continuing his Bread of Life discourse, his sermon on the Bread of Life. Verse 41, the Jews then complained about him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then, he says, I have come down from heaven? Don't you see, right here at the very outset, the issue is, who is he? We know him as the son of Joseph and Mary, a man. A man like ourselves. But he says he is the bread who came down from heaven. Now, which is it? Are his claims true? Are they valid? Or are our observations and inclinations the most valid ones? Everything hangs on that. If they are going to insist upon regarding him only as a man, the son of Mary and Joseph, then there is no way that they can receive the benefit which he brings down from heaven. You must accept him for who he is if you are going to receive the benefits which he alone is able to bestow. So, verse 43, Jesus therefore answered and said to them, "Do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Now he just dives right in the middle of this question about divine sovereignty. You've got to understand who I am. I am Almighty God. And that means that I rule, I decide, I decide upon whom I will bestow the blessings of salvation and who I will not. So again, do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. That is, I will raise up on the last day all that the Father draws. I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone, and now we get into the new section, not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. He's talking in the previous verses about the Father and what the Father has done and is doing. The Father draws men to Christ. And those that the Father draws to Christ, Christ gives eternal life to. Christ will raise up at the last day. It's reference to the Father. But he says, nobody has seen the Father. And this is true. Nobody has seen the Father. God is a spirit. God is invisible. God manifests himself in various ways and at various times and has made himself visible in part, at certain times, in certain ways, to certain ones. Again, only to those that he chooses to manifest himself to, but we know that he allowed Moses to see something more of himself than anyone else. And we know that there were other times when God has manifested himself to men in some manifestation, some way that they could see something about him, but he's never revealed himself fully and completely. No man has ever seen the Father. Most men have never seen even the hinder glory of the Father, like Moses did. But there is one who has not only seen all of him, he is him, but he doesn't say it quite that way at this point. But he says, not that anyone, verse 46, has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. He's talking, of course, about himself, the one who came down from heaven. He who is from God, we might say from out of God, he, of course, has seen the Father. Verse 47, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. So again, the close connection between who Jesus is and what he is able to provide, what he's able to bestow. He is able to give everlasting life. He is the bread of life that sustains eternal life. And how is he able to do this? Why is that so? How is it that this one, this man, Jesus of Nazareth, is able to bestow these things, is able to give everlasting life, is able to provide the sustenance that sustains eternal life? because he is from God. He is out from God. He has come down from heaven. He alone has seen and knows thoroughly and intimately the Father because, as he tells us later in John chapter 14, I and the Father are one. He understands God because he is God. He is the revelation of God. Nobody has seen the Father except the one who comes down from heaven. The one who comes out from the Father, he has seen him. But again, later in John chapter 14, when Philip says, Lord, show us the Father, and that will satisfy us. And Jesus says, have I been so long with you, Philip, that you don't know who I am? Don't you realize that he who sees me sees the Father? I and the Father are one? God has manifested himself to men in the person of Jesus Christ. And those who see Christ for who he truly is, see God. Now, there were many in his day who saw him as the man who preached to the multitudes, said wonderful words of life, the man who performed wonderful miracles, multiplied the bread and the fishes, as he did in the earlier part of John chapter 6. This amazing man who does such wonderful things, but to see that, to have some experience with these aspects of him, is still not to see him for who he truly is. You must come to understand that he is God. And that's why he can do these things. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. Well, what does it mean to believe in me? It means, in the context here, to believe that who I am, who I claim to be. I am the one come down from heaven. That can't be said of any mere man. That cannot be said of any other man. I am not saying, the Bible does not say that Jesus was not a man. Of course he was. But he was more than that. He was the God-man. He was a man, but you have to see him for who he is. You have to see that he is more than a man. If all you see about Jesus is the man, then you will not have everlasting life. Because most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me. What do you mean by that? That I am from God. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. This is very critical. There are many in our day, I'm talking to some now, who have an appreciation for Jesus the man, but you're not saved. Why? Because you have not believed that he is God come in the flesh. You appreciate his ethics, but you have not come to terms with his true nature. You appreciate his teaching. You appreciate his compassion. You appreciate his confrontation of those who have evil intentions and motives and who carry out injustice in this world. There are many things about the man Jesus that you appreciate. You appreciate him as a principled man. You appreciate him as an effective man. You appreciate him as a prophet who speaks powerful words of truth. But you don't go far enough. You don't see him as the one who came down from heaven. Moses didn't come down from heaven. Isaiah didn't come down from heaven. Jeremiah didn't come down from heaven. David didn't come down from heaven. No one else came down from heaven. None of the other prophets came down from heaven. This man is a prophet, but he's more than a prophet. This man is a preacher, but he's more than a preacher. This man is a miracle worker, but he's more than a miracle worker. There were others who worked miracles, like Moses, but they were men who did not come down from heaven, who were given miraculous working, miracle working power from God. But this one has miracle working power because he is God. This one came down from heaven. It's essential that you understand this and believe this about him. You have to believe in me. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Now, it said earlier in verse 41, I am the bread which comes down from heaven. That, of course, would have reminded his hearers of Moses and the manna in the wilderness, which was, in a sense, bread that came down from heaven. It was literal physical bread that was bestowed miraculously from heaven on a day-to-day basis and sustained physical life, but it didn't impart spiritual life. And many of the people who ate that miraculous bread from heaven called manna, which sustained their physical lives upon the earth, they had no spiritual life. They did not believe in the promises of God. They did not believe in the Word of God. They did not believe in the necessity of the Messiah who was promised to come. They had no eternal life, and having had personal experience with such miraculous bread from heaven, and knowing the amazing power of God that should have caused them to believe in him unreservedly, they nevertheless clung to their sins, clung to their idols. I've been reading through the Old Testament again, as I do every year, and I have been struck, I think, more than ever before, at how many references there are in the Psalms, in the prophets, Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel, how many references there are to the idolatry of the people of Israel while they were in Egypt, yes, but even when they were redeemed, freed from Egyptian bondage, taken out into the wilderness by the miraculous power of God, given amazing revelation of God, and yet still clinging to their idols and secretly worshiping them all the while that they purported to be worshiping God. They really didn't turn loose of their sins. They really didn't turn loose of their false worship. They really didn't turn loose of their false notions about God. When you're worshiping an idol, what are you doing? You're worshiping something that is not God as if it were God. You are attributing to that idol some godlike characteristics, but of course it's not a representation of the true God. It is a misrepresentation of God. And we can do exactly the same thing today without an actual physical idol to worship, but we can still take our thoughts about God and can worship a God who does not represent divine revelation, who is not the God of the Bible. It's the God that we're willing to worship, but worshiping the God that we're willing to worship doesn't cut it, folks. We must worship the God who has revealed himself. We must lay aside all of our false notions about God. We must lay aside all of our false notions about self-autonomy. We must lay aside all of our love for our sins and insistence upon ruling our own life and doing our own thing and going our own way. We must lay all that aside, giving it all up to worship the one true God and him alone. to love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. And that's what Jesus is saying here. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me as I have revealed myself to you, as the one who came down from heaven, whoever believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and are dead, he says in verse 41. That's what I was just talking about. They ate this miraculous bread that came down from heaven, but it was bread that only sustained physical life. They ate manna in the wilderness and they died. It didn't prevent them from death. It wasn't life-giving bread, even though it came down from heaven in one sense. But he says, I'm the bread that comes down from heaven that gives everlasting life. Most assuredly, verse 47, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Not the bread that sustains physical life, but the bread that gives and sustains everlasting life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and are dead. But if you will partake of me, the bread that comes down from heaven, that came down from heaven, that gives everlasting life, then you will never die. Verse 50, this is the bread which comes down from heaven, and that one may eat of it and not die. You see the point he's making? He's making it so clearly. And he is, of course, contrasting physical death with spiritual death, and physical life with spiritual life. And the manna from heaven in the wilderness sustained physical life, but didn't sustain it forever. Everyone who ate that manna died. It sustained their physical life for a while, but they died. And unfortunately, as we know, many of them died in their sins and had no spiritual life. But if you will eat of me, the bread that comes down from heaven, then you will not die. And that, of course, doesn't mean you'll never die physically, for indeed we all shall, but you will have everlasting life. Most assuredly, again, verse 47, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread, verse 51, which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. Now, he's speaking in, what should I say? He's speaking in symbolic language. Those who are taught of the Father will understand what he's talking about and will benefit from this truth. The symbols will be clear to them, and they will benefit from them. They will believe in him. They will receive him. They will thereby receive the bread which came down from heaven, which if a person receives that bread, he will never die. He will have everlasting life. But those same words in that same symbolic language falling upon the ears of those who are not taught by the Father to understand it will be very puzzled and will not be able to understand what in the world he is talking about here. It makes no sense to them. But it should make sense, it will make sense to you if the Spirit of God has taught you and is teaching you these wonderful truths. So we'll back up again. Jesus answered and said to them, do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. Now he'll go on and say some things from here that really do offend his hearers, because they don't understand the spiritual meaning behind the symbolic language that he's using. And to talk about giving his flesh and eating his flesh, if anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever, and the bread that I shall give is my flesh, that I shall give for the life of the world. You're talking about eating bread, you're talking about eating flesh, that sounds like cannibalism. But it's symbolic language. And when he says, I will give my flesh, what does he mean? He's going to lay down his life, his flesh, upon the cross. He's going to give his life so that those who believe in him will have eternal life. And his flesh becomes, as it were, the spiritual bread which one must eat in order to receive eternal life. That is, his death upon the cross is the truth that will procure eternal life for those who trust in him. And if you will receive him, obviously not a physical act, you're not going to eat him, you're not going to partake of his flesh in that way, but if you will believe in him, if you will receive him for who he is and who he has represented himself to be and what he has represented himself as doing and what he actually did, it is historical truth that he died upon the cross, and if you will understand the truth of what he's teaching here and receive that truth into your soul, that's the spiritual equivalent of eating bread and receiving that bread into your body. And when you eat bread and receive it into your body, like the manna which they ate in the wilderness, then that will nourish your body. When you receive his words and receive them into your soul, that will give life to your soul. Then you'll have eternal life. And the eternal life is procured by the bread that came down from heaven. And it is made beneficial by those who believe it, those who receive it, those who partake of this bread, those who partake of this flesh that is given in order that men may have life. The symbolism is powerful. It is instructive, and yet it is mysterious. And those who stumble over it have difficulty and do not benefit from it. Those who receive it by simple faith have everlasting life. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.